Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. Well, the new school year is upon us, and with its arrival comes a host of familiar hot-button public policy debates, from the adequacy of the funding we provide for teachers and facilities, to school safety, to the critical importance of bringing more diversity to the teaching profession. Fortunately, North Carolina is lucky enough to have one of the nation's most passionate and skilled spokespeople for making our education system work for all, in Public School Forum of North Carolina Executive Director Keith Poston. Keith joined me in studio recently to discuss these and other important education issues. Well, Keith Poston, welcome to News and Views. Thanks for being back with us.
It's always great to be with you. Thanks.
We're already well into the 2018-19 school year. A lot of issues on the front burner as you approach the school year. What are some of the ones that stand out for you?
Yeah, I think funding and resources is a continuing priority for the Public School Forum and also a continuing concern. You know, one of the big ones is infrastructure needs. I mean, it's been identified. The state of North Carolina tracks, it's basically like a five-year outlook. What do our schools need? We're at an $8 billion deficit for new school construction and renovation, expansion. You know, the K-3 class size mandate put even more pressure on that. And we haven't had a statewide bond since 1996. The legislature had an opportunity. There was a bill that seemed to have pretty broad bipartisan support for a $1.9 billion school bond that would have gone to, you know, help build schools across North Carolina and upgrade them. It never got a full vote in the Senate. Yet we've got six constitutional amendments and highway bonds, you know, frankly, that were even bigger than this, that got voted out and passed out of the legislature without even a state vote on it. So, you know, I was like, well, I guess we could just always have our classes meet on these freshly paved roads that we'll have because we won't have safe, healthy classrooms. So it's really frustrating, and it's kind of inexplicable to me because the counties just can't afford it. I mean, this at the end of the day, yes, there is a division over who funds, you know, the state largely funds salaries and instructional expenses, you know, underfund, and the counties are supposed to take care of buildings. But it's still the state's responsibility, and the counties just don't have, particularly our poorer counties, our rural counties do not have the tax base to be able to do that. So that's a big one. It's just infrastructure. And then the other one is just basic classroom supplies. It's not sexy, but it is the reality of what our teachers deal with every day. You know, when we, you know, we're a few months now removed from, you know, the massive teacher march, you know, here in Raleigh. And I was out there, you know, we were out there with our camera talking to teachers for our, you know, for our weekly TV show. And all I kept hearing over and over again were things about textbooks and classroom supplies and school nurses. And it wasn't about pay. I mean, it's almost like they've accepted that they're not going to be paid enough. But the public's coming around, I think, on that big time. I think the public's really backing teachers on more pay. But they just want to be able to do their job and support their kids. And it was a little disappointing to see the short session really not in the legislature and the General Assembly really not do a lot in terms of boosting per pupil spending, which really mostly shows up in things like classroom resources.
Another issue where we really didn't see a lot of significant action is school safety. Obviously, we've had these horrific tragedies in other parts of the country. Thank the Lord we've been able to avoid them in North Carolina for the most part. But I think there had been some hope that maybe we would see some real action on that in the General Assembly. Not much. We're hearing now sort of this wild and crazy proposal from the U.S. Education Secretary about, again, going back to this issue of arming teachers. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I thought we had put that one to bed. And then, yes, our U.S. Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, is coming out trying to figure out a way to use federal funds that are typically earmarked for free and reduced lunch and special education services to buy guns to arm teachers. Fortunately, here in North Carolina, Republicans and Democrats, by and large, rejected that. It's just a little bit outside the pale, right? And there were some good conversations. There was a House Select Committee that Speaker Moore put together with some good folks on it to look at school safety. And they seem to be circling around on some things that we care about at our organization around better support for school counseling and mental health services. I'm always a little uncomfortable when you sort of link too closely sort of mental health and school shootings because, I mean, there are plenty of children who have depression and anxiety issues and other things that don't become school shooters. It's also true, though, that usually when you, a school shooter does have some issues and that could have been avoided. So they identified a lot of issues like the shortage of school nurses, the shortage of school counselors, the shortage of school psychologists. We don't meet the state or federal recommendations for that kind of an. But yet they didn't fund it. I mean, they funded some like one-time grants, which could, again, can be helpful. But it's, you know, the districts tell us we need to hire full-time people. And so, you know, sort of one-time grants, don't they? So the legislature may come back to that. I hope they do and put a little more recurring dollars into it. But it sort of like identified a pretty big problem, but really didn't put a lot of serious money into it.
A related area is the issue of trauma in schools, which we all know is unfortunately an increasing phenomenon. You've got a new project, the Resilience and Learning Project.
I'm really proud of this work. It's sad that we need it, but we piloted in two school districts this past school year. We were in Edgecombe County working in two schools, an elementary and a middle school, and one school in Rowan Salisbury, an elementary school. And it's about training all the adults in the building to better identify and respond to children who are coming into the schools dealing with what's sort of known in the science as adverse childhood experiences, all sorts of childhood trauma, and it ranges from what you maybe your listeners think of sort of, you know, child abuse and neglect, but also food insecurity, hunger, home insecurity, violence in the home, violence in the community, the opioid crisis. We're seeing an explosion of kids going into foster care in North Carolina because parents are either dying or being incarcerated or just incapable of being parents. Well, all those kids are in the public schools. And so they're coming in, and what the science tells us is that the more of these sort of traumatic experiences you have as a child, it rewires your brain. And not in a good way, because the human body and the brain is a beautifully designed and created thing to help keep us safe. And we all know the sort of the fight or flight instinct. And it's sort of that, you know, like if you're driving your car and someone cuts you off in traffic, and all of a sudden you're like, everything's in your heart's racing, but you react really quickly and you're kind of tensed up and your adrenaline's flowing. Well, that's all to help keep you safe. What the science tells us is that children who deal with those kinds of dangerous situations in their life all the time, they live in a constant state of on guard. They're scanning the horizon for dangers. So you can imagine when they come into the classroom, they can't all of a sudden turn this off. And they're also, we're dealing with a lot with elementary school kids. They're not as sophisticated or mature enough emotionally. They can't just raise their hand and say, teacher, look, I need a little bit of time to kind of decompress. I got to calm down. I kind of got to recenter myself here. Well, that's really what they need, but they don't know how to do that. And so our program, and we're going to be now expanding into six new school districts, I think we're being about 20 schools this year, really helps the adults. And I say the adults in the building because it's not just teachers. It's the cafeteria workers. It's the school bus drivers. It's the school resource officers. All of them to help them, one, identify these issues, but also really to put into place practices and policies that really help all kids feel more secure, and you can do a lot of things, because our goal is to keep the kids in the classroom and engaged in learning, because they can do that, but they just need a little different approach than a child who doesn't have those kinds of experiences in their life.
That sounds like a great idea.
So it's something we're going to work on it right now, but we also want to see long term, we hope to see it become more of a statewide priority in the schools, and also, frankly, even in the teacher preparation programs. I mean, it would be certainly would make things a lot easier if you had teachers going through our schools of education and prep programs, learning this stuff on the front end, because that's the reality of what they're walking into in a classroom.
I want to hit on one other program that the public school forum will be emphasizing in the coming weeks and months. There's a program you're calling The Color of Education. It's a summit you'll be hosting in early October. Shed a little light on that for our listeners.
Both this and the trauma work grew out of a study group that we did that we finished in 2016 around educational opportunity. And so we identified childhood trauma as one of the barriers to children really achieving the kind of educational opportunities they need to have in North Carolina. The other was issues of race equity. and the fact that we see too many racialized outcomes in our public schools. Discipline disparities for students of color who are suspended at 40% rate higher than white students for the same offenses. The fact that black and brown students are more likely to not get into more advanced courses when it's subjective. They are, you know, more likely to be in underfunded schools. They're less likely to have teachers that look like them. This is a statewide issue. We are now a majority minority student population, which is actually not even calling it a minority isn't really true anymore. We're about 51% black and Hispanic students. Our teaching workforce is 80% white and 80% female. And so we're in a situation where a lot of students in North Carolina can go to school for their entire 12 years and never see a teacher that looks like them. And the research is pretty clear. It's not just representation and diversity. It's also just there's a difference in how again, I mentioned the discipline, the expectations that a black teacher might have for a black student that would be different than a white teacher. It's not this we're suggesting that the white teachers are racist, but it does suggest that there are implicit biases and structural things within our system that unfairly harm black students. And so we're kicking this off. We've got the wonderful Nicole Hannah-Jones, who is a rising star. She was already a star in our book, being a former reporter here in Durham and Raleigh, and now she's with the New York Times Magazine. We've got her coming into Durham in October to speak to what's now a sellout crowd at Duke University, and she's a Tar Heel like I am. She went to grad school there. I went to undergrad, and she joked online that she was, even though she's a Tar Heel, she's going to go to Duke because it's for the children. So we're going to have Nicole come in, but then this is really a kickoff, and we're looking toward building on a statewide conversation about this, because I do think that North Carolinians of all ethnicities are fair-minded folks who, when they understand the disparities, I've talked to them. They go like, yeah, really? They're going to talk about the discipline. They don't, like white parents. I mean, black parents already understand that it happens. They're like, well, okay, well, then what's going on? Then let's figure this out. And that's what we hope, is to build on that and actually see some policy and program changes. So look for more to come out. But the kickoff is in October, and hopefully it's the start of something big.
And folks can learn more at the Public School Forum website.
Absolutely, ncforum.org. And there's a link right on the front page about Color of Ed and our racial equity initiatives that we're working on.
So much to focus on. We really appreciate all your fine efforts. Please keep up the good work.
Absolutely. Thanks, Rob.
We'll check in again soon.
All righty.
Coming up next, one of North Carolina's top voices for the rights of workers joins us for a pre-Labor Day conversation. Stay with us.